you very much. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 39, if you will. Anybody need a worksheet that did not get a worksheet? Slip your hand up, and they'll come by and give you one. Hold them up until they get there. Hold up your hand if you want a worksheet. Genesis chapter 39. You know, I know we always have a small crowd on Easter Sunday, and I was, you know, I hate to see anybody miss a good message. And every once in a while you get one, you think, I want people to hear. This is actually a very simple message, but it's actually kind of profound. We need some more over here. The boys got some hands up over here. Right here next to Tom. Okay. Who else is missing one? Anyone else missing? Okay. There we go. All righty. This is very, it's very simple, but it's kind of very profound. You know, life gets tough. And sometimes life just keeps coming at you and keeps coming at you and keeps coming at you. And you think you're doing right and you think you're on the, you know, you got the Lord with you, and this crazy stuff happens. And this was the next message in our series, and I thought, daggone it, we're just going to do it. People who's going to miss it, going to miss it. And so I wanted you to see this. We're going to walk through the whole passage here, but I don't want to read the whole thing right away. Look at it with me, though, a couple of different spots. Look at chapter 39. Let's begin with verse number 1. It says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither." You all know this, but just a reminder, they put it in perspective. Joseph had had a dream that his family would, there would be some people bowing down to him, and whether right or wrong, he told his brothers about that, and that didn't go over real well. Of course, they didn't like that. They didn't like him anyway because he was Daddy's favorite. Daddy always liked him better anyway. And I hate to say it, Daddy tended to deal with Joseph a little differently. Personally, the woman he wanted to marry was Rachel. Now, he got Leah first, you know the story about Laban and giving his oldest daughter first, and of course she has these kids, and then they have kids by way of the handmaids, and finally, the woman he loved, Rachel, gives birth to Joseph. I think to a certain extent in Jacob's mind, Joseph was his firstborn. He was the first one that was supposed to be there, and so he had a favorite there, and so he, of course, the line goes through Joseph here later, and his brothers didn't like that, and so they threw him in a pit, and they were going to kill him, but he said, "No, let's not do that. Let's sell and make some money off of him, and we'll take his coat of many colors that Daddy gave him, and we'll kill an animal and spread some blood on it, and we'll tell Dad we found the coat, and we'll tear it up a little bit, and he'll think some animal has killed him, ran off with him." And he'll be out of our hair, and we won't need him anymore. And so Joseph is sold to the Ishmaelites, and they take him down to Egypt, where he's sold to a guy named Potiphar. Verse 2, watch this. Now, wait a minute, watch me. He was just sold into slavery, right? Verse 2, "And the Lord was with Joseph." What? What do you mean the Lord's with me? I'm in slavery. Hello. This has not been a good day. It's not going to be a good week. In fact, next week isn't looking too good either. "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master of the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." Now we're going to see that phrase several times in this passage. The Lord was with him. Life comes at us. And sometimes we don't understand what's coming at us. And just because we don't like what's coming at us, and that we can't understand what's coming at us, and we don't know what may be coming next, it's even worse, doesn't mean the Lord has forsaken you. Let's have a word of prayer. We're going to walk our way through this passage. Try not to be long tonight. You heard about the preacher who he showed up one day, and it was snowy that day, and only one guy showed up for church. And he said, well, I'm going to preach anyway. So he started going. Boy, he started waxing eloquent, and he just went on and on and on and on and on. And he told that one guy, said, listen, if one sheep showed up to the up to be fed, I'm going to feed him. And so he fed him. Got all done, and he said, well, brother, how'd you like that? He said, well, you know what? If one sheep shows up to feed him, you ought to feed him, but you don't have to dump the whole load on him. But I'll try not to dump the whole load, but here we go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings and for your the way you've spoken to hearts here today already. And Lord, this is a message I think a lot of us need to see. Simple. We've kind of already got an idea where we're headed. Lord, I want it to make an impact on our heart till we walk out and have this embedded. You said these things are written for our samples to strike an indelible die, to make an impression upon our heart so that we can live by these things and face the day knowing you're faithful. So Lord, I pray that you bless our time. I ask for your Holy Spirit to give each of us what we need here this evening. Thank you for each one you've brought our way. May we be a blessing. We give the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. It's not too long after we're born that we come up with our own agenda. In fact, most babies tend to come up with their own agenda the day they come home from the hospital. Of course, some of them actually before they get out of the hospital. It may only be set for the next few minutes to be fed by mom. That's their agenda right now. But we tend to set our own agenda. When our agenda is set aside and others do not go along with our plan, we're disappointed. We had an appointment with a personal satisfaction. Let me say that again. We had an appointment with some personal satisfaction, and that appointment has been canceled. It's most likely that even Joseph, when he had had those dreams, kind of liked the idea of others bowing down to him. I mean, it's kind of hard not to like the idea that, hey, I'm going to be on the top of the heap here. I'm going to be the cream of the crop. My guess is he didn't think about any negative things coming between the good things. Most of us do not fantasize about the problems. When people get married, you know, they're dreaming about marriage and dreaming about this and that and all the wonderful things. They don't dream about the fact that his feet's going to stink. They don't dream about the fact that they're going to have to pay the bills. They don't dream about the fact, what are they going to do when the baby cries all night? They don't dream about the things when the teenager comes home and decides they're going to take over the house. We don't dream about those things. We dream about all the good things. And then when life comes at you, all of a sudden we're disappointed. He probably thought he'd go directly from being a teenager to being a ruler where others bow down to him. Seldom is life like that. In fact, the prosperity of the fool shall destroy him. Watch, since God wants us to prosper and not be destroyed, the Lord most often needs to take us through a process so we are no longer an idealist fool who thinks he knows it all, is going to always get what he wants, how he wants, and when he wants it. Sometimes we do our children great disservice because we give them everything and we don't want them to ever have any sad times, hard times, bad times. Now, I'm not saying make them up and make them happen. But the fact is our kids are going to be a whole lot better off when they realize that God can get them through the tough times. Because when you give them everything they want, we are setting them up for a problem Because because life is going to hit him in the face one of these days, and mommy and daddy are not going to be there to block it. And then all of a sudden, they're not going to know how to handle life. We are to have a walk of faith, a life of faith. And it takes us, God has to take us sometimes through some tough things to understand what it means to walk by faith. When our personal agendas are not fulfilled and we are disappointed, we become disillusioned, disenchanted, disgruntled, and our disposition can suffer. Some folks may even turn their backs on God for not seeing to it that their agenda was brought to fruition. God let me down. I can't tell you how many people have, over the years, folks have said, I think God wants this for me, and then it didn't show up. Well, see, God failed me. Well, maybe God didn't want that. Maybe you wanted that. Maybe you had a dream, but that was because you ate too much pizza last night. You decided what you wanted, and that wasn't necessarily what God wanted. There's some things in my life that I feel like God said, one day you're going to do this, and some of those things have come to fruition. Some of those things haven't. Some of those things may still come to fruition. I don't know. Sometimes I think he gives us a focus and some direction. But you know what? Move in the right direction and leave it in God's hands and see what he does. We have a difficult time doing as Jesus did in 1 Peter 2, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But committed himself to, we've used this verse a lot, committed himself to him that judges righteously. Put it in God's hand. Let the chips fly. See what God wants us to do. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Sometimes God has a larger agenda than our little selfish agenda. Job in 14. You know the story of Job and all he went through. It says this in verse 1 of chapter 14. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, continueth not. This life is short. It isn't always what we want it to be. We get some plans. We think it's going to happen. James 4:13 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. But that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Excuse me. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. Life can be difficult. Life can be unpredictable. Life can be much different than what we had planned. When life goes in a different direction than we had foreordained, we must live life by faith in him who judges righteously. God may have foreordained us and thus has a plan for us and has called us to his plan, and it may be completely different than our plan. That doesn't mean that God has changed his mind, is going in a different direction. Watch this. Most likely, it means that God, who had a plan for us from the foundation of the world, has been working his plan, and then we come along in the midst of God's process and progress of our lives, and we set our own agenda without consulting the Lord and without surrendering to the Lord. And we try to force our own direction on God. And when God doesn't give way to us, we think he's being mean. You following what I'm saying there? Romans 12:1, how are we supposed to? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the way you're thinking here, that ye may prove or demonstrate what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I am sure that Joseph had a plan. I'm sure that most of the things we hear about in his story was not part of his plan. When we find the end of the story, it was part of God's plan. Now, did God want all that stuff to happen? No, shouldn't need it to happen. But he knew it was going to happen, and God was going to use it. Let me give you number one. The Lord was with Joseph. And I use the word in captivity because he was in slavery. Stuck. Bound. Didn't have a life of his own. The Lord was with Joseph. Now you say, well, I don't like what... No, wait. Don't move off of that thought. The Lord was with Joseph. Genesis, verse number 1 there, 39:1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of guard, an Egyptian, bought of him the hands of Ishmaelites, which, by the way, is a descendant of Abraham's illegitimate firstborn by Hagar, which had brought him down thither, and the Lord was with Joseph. Now, just because bad things appear to be happening to us, it doesn't mean the Lord's not with us. You've heard me say it recently. I don't know why it just has worked its way through in all my model messages recently, but Psalm 23, our shepherd, the Lord being our shepherd, is leading us in paths of righteousness, not because we deserve it, but for the Lord's sake, his reputation. That's what it says. And while the Lord is leading in paths of righteousness, he leads them straight through the valley of the shadow of death. Now look at it. He didn't say, when I happen to wander into the valley of shadow. No. He said, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters of green pastures. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now listen, I'm in going a path for his name's sake. It's a path of righteousness, the path of right. I'm doing what he wants me to do, and the doggone thing leads right through the valley of the shadow of death. But I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. While the Lord is leading, he says, fear not, for the Lord is with you. Number two, prosperity comes in different forms. Prosperity comes in different forms. Now remember, the Lord was with Joseph, even where he doesn't want to be. So it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, verse 2, and it continues, it says, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now come on. How can a man be prosperous and have a master? Somebody owns him. It says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. He's serving a master as a slave, and the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, that is, of his master, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. The Lord was with him. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house, and in the field. I mean, when you think about it, he's got a good job. He's doing well. This all sounds good. But remember, he's still a slave. So sorry. He's a slave. He is owned by another person. Your life is not your own. He cannot come and go as he pleases. He's still away from home. He wasn't planning on leaving home yet. Now, he didn't really like all his brothers and stuff, but Mama was still, you know, well, Mama was gone. But she died when he had had Benjamin. But, you know, he didn't want to be away from Daddy. He didn't want to be away from home. His own family are still the ones that hate him. This is, you say, well, God, it's a bad life. I'm in slavery. I really don't have a home to go to because they still hate him. Yet in the position that the Lord has Joseph in, the Lord is still blessing and prospering him. God is with Joseph and prospering him, yet Joseph is not where he wants to be in life. You hear me? God is with, he said it. God is with him, and God is prospering him, but he's not where he wants to be in life. We got to make sure our agenda does not get in God's way. We want to get from here to there, and he's going to get from here to there. But I'll be honest with you. I think maybe God needed to do a work in his own heart so that when the boys finally did show up for food, he had pity on them. I don't know. I do know this is the way it worked out best because the Lord was with him and caused him to prosper. The Lord was with Joseph in a land where the Lord led him to be, but doesn't want to be. This is just part of life. And we need to take life as it comes. So I've been trying to follow the Lord. I've been trying to do right. I've been reading my Bible. I've been going to church. I've been praying. I've been surrendered. And here I am in this mess. Life. Life. And we've been through all this 2 years, even after the butler said, hey, I'll give you a good word out there. 2 years he sat there. So the butler said, oh, wait a minute, I forgot. Last line here. The Lord may be with us even when others have made life difficult. The Lord may be with us. See, I say may. If you're walking with the Lord's walking with you. Now, if you may be in a mess because you walked away from the Lord, that could be. Now, and none of us are perfect, so we keep ourselves confessed up, make sure we're right with the Lord, keep short accounts, and God understands all that. But if you're actually doing, you're humble before God, God will lift you up in due time. But that's due time. Right now, we may not be in the lifting up time. Number three. The Lord may be with us even when everyone else is against us. The Lord may be with us even when everybody else is against us. Many times we measure our worth by what others think. That's not necessarily a good thing. You just don't, listen, it may be even a good person, good Christian. You don't necessarily need to go by what they say. You go by what the Word of God says. Look at verse 6 here. And Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. In other words, he was a good looking guy. He was a hunk. That's what it means. And it came to pass after those things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in his house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Now, we're going to see some things coming here. So why don't you hear that? Why don't you see that point? We're not going to dwell on it at this point. But the Lord may be with us even when everyone else is against us. Look at number four. The Lord may be with us even when we are trying to do right and we are still falsely accused and lied about and found guilty. The Lord may be with us even when we are trying to do right and we are still falsely accused and lied about and found guilty. I'll tell you what, I've been in leadership long enough that you realize that you're the target. And people are going to say things about you. There are people in this town who hate my guts. There are some people in town who think I'm a nice guy. I mean, we've heard all kinds of things about, oh, Lighthouse Baptist, that's that church where, what? You know, and crazy stuff. But you know what? God knows truth. God knows the truth. You leave it in the hands, committed in the hands of him who judges righteously. Living by faith means I just keep on living, even though everybody else may be accusing me. Now, if I get accused, I do think it's the right thing for me to do to make sure I double check and make sure they're not right. Honestly, open-heartedly. Or at least I make sure that I didn't do something that could have easily been perceived as such. I don't know. And if it is, I need to make it right. But sometimes you're just falsely accused. Look at verse 11. Verse 11. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Now, if there's anything to say bad about Joseph, that's it. She'd been doing this day by day by day. I mean, she was hot on his trail. And probably would have been better to wait for somebody else or take... Listen, he runs the place. So he certainly could have said, hey, I want you to come in with me as I do my duties today around the business. He could have done that very easily. But he went in by himself into a private quarters where there's a lady who already wants him. Not good. Now, technically, did he do anything wrong? Well, I guess to know to do good and not to do it is sin, but apparently he didn't know not to do it. He just went and did his job. Make no provision for the flesh, no appearance of evil, no place for the devil. Just don't let it happen. So he goes in there, and there's none there. Verse 12, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now that was good. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice, and I cried, that he left his garment with me and fled, got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. She spake unto him according to those words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried, and he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Now watch, I'm going to go right into the next verses. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. What do you mean you were with me? Where were you when she was falsely accusing me? Where were you when they were throwing me into jail? What do you mean the Lord's with me? Oh, the Lord's with you. Number five, the Lord was with Joseph in prison. The Lord was with Joseph in prison. But why was he in prison? He was falsely accused. See, things come at you. Life happens. So many people think, well, all this comes, God must have failed because look what's happening in my life. No, God has a plan. And God's going to work his plan. And God has a promise to bring that plan to fruition. Just because it doesn't look like the way we would plan it out doesn't mean God has planned has gone out the window. The Lord was with him in the prison. Watch this, verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now see, we go, the Lord, he said, they threw me in prison, period. That's where we stop. The prison part was just a bypass. It was just a way stop on what God's trying to do. He's in prison, but God was merciful to him and he prospered him in that prison. The point was not about being in prison and you're lost. The point was about he's taking him through prison and he's going to have victory. He's going to come out the other side. God's going to show him his power in the prison. But if he was never in the prison, he's never going to see the power. The Lord was with him. Now we're not, you know what most of us do? He throws us in prison. Yeah, like I'm going to serve him. And we get bitter. We get angry. We sulk. We blame everybody. Well, you know, if this could have... We all we see is the prison. When God says, that's just a byword. That's just a happenstance. That's just part of the plan. I'm taking you through this thing to get you to the other side, getting you to the end of the story here. Verse 21 again. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, the creator of the universe, was with him, and that which he did, and the Lord made it to prosper. See, we would have sat there and done nothing in jail and never seen the Lord prosper us, because we're too busy having a pity party, because life happened. Life happens. Life happened when they sold him to the Ishmaelites into slavery. Life happened when it turned out he had a pretty good deal out of it. If you're going to be in slavery, he had a pretty good deal. But life happens when he's falsely accused and he's put back in jail. Life happens. But as long as I'm walking with the Lord, the Lord's walking with me. But if I decide I'm going to stop right there, then I'm on my own. Excuse me. Sorry.
so much. Number six. The Lord is with you when you are with the Lord. The Lord is with you when you're with the Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Life happens, and all of a sudden we look at life and we stop looking at the Lord. Life happens and we come to a dead stop and we stop following Him. James 4:7 says this, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." In other words, do right according to the word of the Lord. Walk in the light as he's in the light, and the Lord will be with you. I'm not saying you're always going to have a happy week. You might have a bad year. Joseph had two bad years sitting in prison. In fact, that was even after the butler left. So he had already been in there, was in control of things. It might have been 4, 5, 6 years. We don't really know. Sitting in jail, being falsely accused. But all we can see is the problem in front of our face. And we forget that the Lord is with me when I'm with the Lord. Too many people decide to get, they get tough. Tough times come. You know what they do? Say, I need a break, and they take a vacation from God. Yes, they do. They just kind of set their Bible aside. As you know, I got some other things I'm going to do for a while. We've seen it. And then things get even worse. There, listen, watch this. Life is still happening, but the Lord's not with them. See, life is going to happen whether the Lord's there or not. Now, when life happens, I want to be with the Lord. I don't want to face life all by myself, because life is going to happen. How many times have you've heard people say, we'll come to a place where we're coming to a coffin of a loved one, and I can't tell you how many times I had someone say, I don't know what people would do who don't have the Lord. Now, that's not a cop-out. That's not a weak person. That's someone who has their heart settled, built their life on the rock, not on the sand. I think you've got this one. Is it letter B? If you are walking with the Lord is with you even when bad things happen. So, well, what are bad things happening though? I'm walking with the Lord. Life. You realize Noah had to go through the flood? Yeah. Can you imagine the stench on that boat after all that time? All those animals. I'm sorry. Can you just imagine? You ever been in a barnyard? I mean, after a while you get used to it, but man, you got the pigs over here and you got the cows over here. And what was it? It was about when we got ready to do our Bible conference Sunday night, the Bible conference, they decided to spread chicken manure across the road over here. Made your eyes water. Now listen, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but they were on that boat for over a year. And the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord was with him. But wait a minute. If you're walking with the Lord is with you even when bad things happen. Now take that promise and count on it. Take that promise and count on it. What's happening? I don't know, but the Lord is with you. If you're walking with, now if you walk away from him, you're on your own, bud.
If your heart, watch, if your heart condemns you, then maybe you need to get right with the Lord. Well, I don't know if the Lord's with me. Well, you know, listen, I'll be honest with you. There's been times in my life when I felt like I wanted God's hand on my, and it wasn't anything necessarily big, but all of a sudden something passes through my brain. Have you ever tried to ever kneel down to prayer and something goes in front of your mind that wasn't right? You know what he's saying? I want to help you out. But if you regard iniquity in your heart, I'm not going to hear you. So in my grace and my mercy, I'm going to make you feel real bad about that one. Why? Because I want you to confess and forsake it. And you confess and forsake it, you have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. This is, I think there's so many people who have built one little sin on top of another sin, on top of another sin for so many years, they don't even remember what the one was down here. And they've built it up, and they are so accustomed to barely seeing sunlight from heaven that that's just normal life for them. They don't know what it's like. Like I said, there's been times in my life where I have to sit down with a notebook and start getting on my knees and tell me everything. Search me and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Write it down. Confess it. Forsake it. With all my heart. Cross it out. Go to the next one. And by the way, if you don't hear anything in the first 3 or 4 seconds, don't get up yet. And if you stop hearing anything from the Lord for 3 or 4 seconds or a minute or two, don't get up yet. He wants to see if you're really serious about it. I want to get it all out of there. I talked to a lady this morning, and she was all excited. She told me, she said that the Lord had given her deliverance from drinking. She was all excited, and I was all glad for her last week. And I saw her today with tears in her eyes. She said, I slipped. But you know what? She has forsaken it. I didn't say she got over it. But she, you know what she did? She didn't say, well, it's okay. She, with tears in her eyes, confessed it. And she confessed it to a man, to a preacher too. Confessed it to the Lord. But she could pray. You know what she's saying? I don't want this anymore. Ah, God can do something with that. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. But our heart can be right with Him as we give ourselves over to Him. Listen, if God is for me, who can be against me? Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Too many people have set their own agenda, which only includes the good times and the easy times, and they think the Lord has abandoned them when hard times and bad times come. If you're walking with the Lord, He will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and so the Lord is with you whether you recognize what He is doing or not. Now, let me clarify that statement. The Lord is always there. Just as Peter was walking on the water, and then he started looking at the water and he slipped in there and said, Lord, save me. He was right there. For a second there, his eyes were not on the Lord. But when he realized there was a problem, he got his eyes right back on and the Lord was right there. The Lord's always there. But he didn't grab Peter by the gruff of the neck and pull him out till Peter cried out, Lord, save me. Because he was going to do it on his own. He goes, well, let's give it a shot. See what happens here. The Lord is with us when we're walking with Him. Now, we must live by faith that this is true, or we will be walking away from the Lord. If we walk away from the Lord, do not expect the Lord to be with you. We can prosper in a foreign land. Prosperity is the Lord is with you. Joseph didn't own his own house. Joseph wasn't married. Joseph didn't have any family yet. Joseph was away from his family. He was away from home. He was in slavery. Then he was in jail. So those aren't the things that God calls prospering, necessarily. You don't have to have those things to be prosperous in the Lord. Don't run from the Lord when things appear to be going contrary to your plans. Surrender your plans to the Lord. Walk with Him in obedience and then take life as it comes. It is what it is. I got one of those. I say it all the time. Jan and I were over there in Lancaster or something, and I saw one of those wooden signs. He says, "There it is, Sterl." She calls me Sterl. You don't call me Sterl. She calls Sterl. There it is. It is what it is. I bought it sitting on my shelf on top of my bookshelf in my office. It is what it is. But the Lord is bigger than all of it. Life happens. It may not be what we want, but if the Lord is with you, it's okay. It's all in the plan. Father, we thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Thank you for these folks coming. I hope there's been encouragement to them. Lord, sometimes it's hard. We like to be encouraged and say, all this is never going to happen. We don't want to worry about these things. Everything would be roses and hunky-dory if we do what the Lord wants us to do. Lord, that's not true. We live in a world that's full of trouble. That's what Job said. It says that man is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And that's true. But the Lord can be with us. We thank you that you are. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.